Good morning. This morning we're going to be in Luke 12, if you'd open your Bible there. Luke chapter 12, and as I was reading through it, I just decided to title it that Jesus speaks about worry. Some versions may use the term anxiety. Hey, we need to listen to what Jesus says about worry in our lives. You know, we have tendencies sometimes to worry about things. And so we need to get a better understanding of what Jesus said. In Luke 12, 13 through 21, and we're not going to go through that this morning, but Jesus had just spoken about a rich man. And you know, he tore down his barns, he builds bigger barns, he's got a lot of goods for many years to come, and then when he's said and done, he just takes it easy. He never gave thought one time about God. And so Jesus addresses and says, you know what? Rich people can have difficulties because they're secure in the wrong things. And so this rich man, he's got it. Then we have the other side. In verses 22 through 31 there, Jesus begins to talk about those who lack. There can be a lacking, and they too can have the same kind of problem that the rich have, in that you can forget about God. And so both problems can come about really easily, rich or poor. But I want you to look at verse 21 with me, if you would, please. Look at how he ends this first section. He says, so is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What does Jesus want us to see? We need to be rich toward God. You and I need a firm, solid relationship with the Lord. That's what matters in life. You know what the poor are going to need? A solid relationship with the Lord. Status in life doesn't matter. Rich have temptations that the poor don't. The poor have temptations that the rich don't. But one thing about it, through this whole thing, you need a relationship with God. And so Jesus begins, verse 22. And he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. When you begin to worry, your worry is what you and I think life is about. He says, do not worry about your life. Your life is more than food, the body more than clothing. Your life is beyond the basic essentials. And we need to believe that. We need to see that. And we can't see it if we start letting the worries affect us. Come back, if you would, real quick to chapter 8. Jesus in chapter 8, and I just want one verse. But he tells about this parable of the sower. And as he tells this parable, you remember the seed is the word of God. He explains it. And that word is thrown out there into the thorns. Look at verse 14 of Luke 8. Look what he explains about that. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard and they go on their way. And they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. I mean, the seed's thrown out there. The Word of God is out. But some people, it can't be effective. You know why? There's three things involved. Worries, riches, and pleasures. Those have more of an impact on them than the Word of God. And he says, and so it brings no fruit to maturity. Nothing has ever grown within them. The Word of God can't accomplish anything. Jesus can't accomplish anything because all these other things are greater. And so Jesus says, listen, worries can be a great big hindrance to people that claim to have faith with me. And so you and I need to go beyond our worries. Come back to chapter 12. Look at verse 23 again. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. It's easy to forget our lives are bigger than physical things. We're about eternal things. Then he begins in verses 24 through 28 that Jesus is going to ask us, instead of worry, would you consider the capabilities of God? Would you do that? You know, a lot of times when we worry, when we're anxious about things, you notice where God starts fitting into our thinking when that hits? He's not there. Worries begin to rule and God gets pushed to the side. Look at verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap and have no storeroom nor barns, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. I mean, Jesus said, consider the ravens. Here these birds are that are out there. Do you know that you're more valuable than birds? Did you know Jesus didn't go to the cross to die for the birds? He didn't go to fill the needs of the birds. No, that's not what he wanted. And so a lot of times when we are in worries, when we have anxieties that hit us, you know, we kind of immediately begin to forget what's going on. God gets pushed out. He gets lost in the middle of our thought process, and the anxieties, the worries get greater. He says in verse 24, consider the ravens. You know, the birds. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom or barns, yet God feeds them. I mean, think of the birds. How many species of birds do you think there are in this world? I mean, there's billions and billions of birds. And you know what God does? He feeds them all. You know what a bird has no capability of doing? They can't plant anything in the ground, and they can't sow anything or reap anything that's planted. Can they? And what does God do? I mean, you even go to the parking lot at Walmart and see sparrows. They're eating people's Fritos and French fries that they've dropped on. You know, here these birds are just flopping around, flouncing around there. They have no capability, and yet here God feeds them. The other day I went for a walk out in the woods, and as I was walking out there, I came across a big flock of wild turkeys. And I just stood and I just observed them for a minute. And those turkeys were there and they were scratching holes in the ground and they were pecking and just whatever they were doing. And then they just kind of moved on. And you know what it hit me? God was feeding that flock of wild turkeys. They can't sow, they can't reap. And yet here God out there in this forest is taking care of a bunch of wild birds that you and I never even think about. And so all over the world, that's happening. And he turns around and Jesus said, you're much more valuable than birds. And if God can do that to a bird, why don't you consider that? And consider what God's doing for them. Look at verse 25. And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? I mean, what does worry accomplish? Let's think about what Jesus is saying to us. How many of us through worry can add something that's impossible? How many of us can add another moment to our lives? We can't. We can't change anything about our life. As far as the lifespan goes, who controls our lifespan? God. And so worry doesn't change anything like that. And so our lifespan's determined by God. And if it's determined by God, what happens when worry hits? It creates instabilities within us. I mean, a lot of times when you worry, it makes you have the lack of ability to deal with situations. And the longer it goes, your thinking moves further from the Lord. And you don't consider the birds. You can't consider that you're trying to do the impossible. You can't add anything to your lifespan. Look at verse 26. If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? I mean, if we can't add time to our life, what other things can we not do? You know, the older I'm getting, you know what I'm realizing more and more, and I know you'll identify those as you age? There's a lot of things in this life you can't do one thing about. Isn't that true? When you're young, you think you can do a lot of things about a lot because you think you're strong. But the older you get, I mean, you lose your job. What are you going to do about that? They say we're shutting down the factory. You can't do anything about it. Sometimes when we lose a loved one through death, what can you do about it? There's not one thing you can do. There's one thing that we need, is that we need a firm grasp of who God is and His capabilities. He can feed the birds. He has control of my lifespan. And I have control over none of it. And yet we're more important than the birds. Look at verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. Now where are we? Consider the lilies. You ever look at a lily? I love to look at flowers, you know. These flowers that we plant and we grow, the flowers that are so well attended out here, are beautiful. And you know what those flowers, not one flower has the capability of doing? They can't spin their own cotton. They can't sew anything together. But what do we learn about them? God clothes them. They have a brilliance and a beauty. And he says, even Solomon in all of his glory, he says, even Solomon in all his glory could not clothe himself like one of these. Solomon was the richest man that ever lived. He did not withhold anything. He had the money to buy all sorts of costly garments, all sorts of materials to make the costly things. And he said, here's Solomon, the greatest, richest man that had ever lived at the time, in his time, in the world. And you know what Solomon couldn't do? Solomon could not arrange himself like a little bitty flower. He couldn't give himself that beauty that comes from a flower. That is something only God can do. Now, question. Did Jesus die for the flowers? No. No. Look at verse 28. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will He clothe you, you men of little faith? We're to the grass. Look at the grass of the field. I mean, it's green. We're coming to the end, you know, of our summer. Our grass is going to start dying if it hasn't already. And you know what God does? He takes that grass and He gives it its beauty. He clothes it in all of its beauty. That grass, as it grows, you know who gets the benefit of that grass? You look at the animals that feed off of grass. You look at the hay that is, and it's only seasonal. It's only a short time, and then all of a sudden it's gone away. It's thrown in the furnace. But you know God so arrays it all that He can feed, He can clothe, He can do anything with it. He said if we would just stop, Jesus said just stop and just take a look at all of these things. The problem is that God has this great ability. If you would just look at the nature around you and look at how God cares for that, the problem is it's not that God's incapable of taking care of me and you. He said the problem comes down to, at the end of verse 28, you men of little faith. The problem is it's our faith. Now, I didn't say that. That's what he said. Jesus is speaking. See, worry pushes God out. And it makes the things that you're looking at become bigger and more, you know, so large we don't see how we're going to overcome it. And Jesus says, look at the little things. Look at what I do. Look at what the Father does. You're more valuable than that if we would only look. And so he begins and he concludes here in verses 29 through 31. You know, you need to realize some things when you're anxious. Look at verse 29. And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink. And do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need all these things. Do not seek. Worry pushes God out. What does he say at the end of verse 30? But your Father knows that you need all these things. If God knows that I need the basic essentials of life, if God knows that, the question is, do we believe that? If God knows that I need the basic essentials of life, then why do we worry? If God knows what we need, He knows what the flowers need. He knows what the grasses need. He knows what the birds need. And they have no capabilities. God knows what we, as His children, He knows what we need. And notice He says there in verse 30, the first part of it, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly see. The nations, we're talking about those outside of Christ. You know, that's how you'd apply it. We're talking about the outside. You know what they eagerly seek? They seek everything that they can get because they have no assurances, because they have no ability to trust God. So they got to go after and they've got to make it. I mean, how many times do we hear people say, oh, I did it myself. I'm self-maintained. Hey, I wouldn't have had that if I wouldn't have worked so hard for it. All the nations, he said, eagerly seek for these things. But he said, but God, he knows that you need all these things. You see, the nations of the world seek their problems and their answers away from God. Jesus says, would you just look at the birds? Would you just look at the flowers? Would you just look at the grass? Would you just open your eyes and see? I mean, David probably said it best in Psalm 46:10. Cease striving. Be still. And know I am God. I know what you need. Let me have first place. See, Jesus is speaking to worry. I want you to come over, if you would, to Psalm 37. I'm going to end right here this morning. Psalm chapter 37. You know what just slipped my mind? What you keep, you turn on. He concluded in Luke 12, but seek first His kingdom and these things will be added to you. Let me just throw one thing on the side because it slipped my mind. I apologize for that. When you hear the term kingdom there, we're talking about the word literally means rule. Seek first His rule. Would you let God, would you seek the rule of God first and foremost in your life? And if you will, I'll add these things to you. We quoted a lot of times out of Matthew 6:33 where Jesus said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Well, you have to be willing to do the will of God. You've got to seek that first and foremost. And you know what God will do? Just like He does the flowers, just like He does the birds, just like He does the grass, I'll make sure that you have everything that you need. I will take care of you. That will be an automatic gift to me. But you must seek me first. That is the only way and the only ones that will find it. In Psalm chapter 37, you know what the whole chapter is about, and I just want a few verses and we'll end. The whole chapter is about do not fret. Don't worry about things. Don't fret. From beginning to the end, look at verse 7. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret of him who prospers in his way because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Notice the first part of verse 7. Rest. Don't fret. Don't compound life's problems with worry. Don't do that. Rest in the Lord. Would you just wait for Him? He's going to come to the rescue. He'll come to your aid. He'll do whatever you need if you will just rest in the Lord, if you will just wait for Him. Look at verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. Sometimes you and I, when we worry, worry can take you to an irrational state of mind. And all of a sudden you start getting upset about, you know, the way life is or the things that are not going your way. And you look around and you see, well, it's going well with them. Why isn't it going well with me? And it can make us angry. It can make us wrathful. You stop that. That's irrational. He says, do not fret. It only leads to evil doing. When we become fretful, you know what? We're going to act or say something that we're going to regret. He says, stop that. Verse 9. For evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Hey, the Lord provides nothing for an evildoer. Fretting will lead you to that. But those who wait for the Lord, guess what? You're going to inherit the land. The good is coming. The things that you need will be provided. And that's what the psalmist says. Look down, if you would, to verse 23 while we're here. He said, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. I mean, would you let God direct? The steps of a man are established by the Lord. If you'll follow the Lord's path, if you'll follow the Lord's principles, if you'll do it the Lord's way and direct you, what is God going to do? He says, he, speaking of God, delights in his way. I'm going to let the Lord direct me now. I'm going to stay away from the worry, the anxieties, and I'm going to commit my way here. I'm going to rest. I'm going to trust. And God says, you know what? You've just now become my delight. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Verse 24. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. When he falls, you know what? There's going to be sometimes, it's going to be difficult in life, aren't there? Aren't there going to be things that make us stumble? Absolutely. You're going to trip sometimes. But there's a difference between tripping and falling and you don't ever get up again versus tripping and falling and someone helping you right back up. Well, if you wait on the Lord and you rest in Him and you let the Lord establish your path, guess what He says I'll do? I'm holding your hand. And when you trip and fall, hey, we're going to pick you right back up. We're going to keep you right on that path. That's a promise from the Lord. Look at verse 25. He says, I've been old, David speaking here. I've been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. You know, David had a lot of trials in his life. Had a lot of people try to kill him. You know what he dies from? Old age. David said, I've been young. Now I'm old. I'm aged. You know what I have never seen in the existence of my life? God forsaken the righteous. The righteous, the descendants begging for bread. Why? Because I know how to clothe the lilies of the field. Because I know how to feed the birds of the air that can't do anything. And I know how to seasonally give the grass for whatever's needed in its beauty. And if you'll commit your way and you'll trust in me, guess what? I'll do it for you. And you won't be forsaken. See, Jesus speaks to worry. Can God help? Can God help? Do we believe God can help? Can God do a good job of providing what we need? A lot of times He does a better job than we do. No, not a lot of times. Always. So we need to just trust the Lord. Just move on. Just look. Just observe. And let God rule and let God be God. And we'll just commit our way. We'll seek first His kingdom, His rule. And let His way be our way. And God will take care of the rest.